Amen. Thank you, Brother Moore. Now, we approach this verse again, and I've brought several messages on Sunday night, even about five on Sunday morning, that spring from the God of peace as this verse starts out. And it's an awesome verse of Scripture, but the prayer is for the Christians at Thessalonica that the God of peace would sanctify you wholly, Paul says, or completely in all ways. Then he goes on to say, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Also will do it. Now, I had brought some messages on the subject of sanctification, what that means, and I had shared with you that we are positionally sanctified, and even shared with you some truths that are found in the Scripture where some things, some inanimate objects were said to be set apart or sanctified. And even how that some had sanctified themselves to do evil, and how that God had even sanctified the Medes when the Babylonian empire fell. So we've looked at some of those things, and so this matter of sanctification really involves the whole Godhead, and we looked at the fact that the role of God the Father, and in Jude verse 1, it says, sanctified by the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, is what the Bible says there. And then, of course, in Ephesians in the first chapter, and I've quoted that several times, and there's a unique statement that's made there in Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about that God has blessed us in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, and without blame before him in love. Some of the things I want to share with you this evening actually would have to do with that it is his purpose that we be holy in our life. And so we find that. Then the fact that we have the role of God the Son, and I'd shared these verses with you in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, where it says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And in the 14th verse of that chapter, by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now tonight, I want to share with you some thoughts about how God the Spirit is involved in our sanctification. God the Spirit. And how that the Bible teaches that from the point when one is experiences regeneration, and of course that is a work of the Holy Spirit in our life, when he is born again, comes to know Christ as his Lord and Savior, then throughout that person's life, the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches us, is actively involved in what we call progressive sanctification or experiential sanctification or practical sanctification, and that is an ongoing process in the life of the believer. It's an ongoing process in one's life and one's experience. Now, I run across a statement that was made. This was made by Arthur W. Pink, and I appreciate his writings. He is, it's an awesome thing to read after him. And he says these words, it is not to be supposed for a moment that the perfect standing before God, which the work of Christ secured for his people, leaves their state unaffected. That was a pretty good statement. It's not to be supposed that that ever happens, even though some may live as if that was to be the fact. He goes on to say, that their position should be so gloriously changed and their condition remain unaltered. That holiness should be imputed, but not also imparted. The work of Christ was to procure for his people the Holy Spirit to make good in them what he had done for them. The work of the Spirit is an integral part of that salvation unto which the Father chose us and which the Son purchased for us. Thus the Christian is sanctified by the triune God. In other words, all three persons of the Godhead are involved in that process. And of course, we had already seen how that God the Father and God the Son were involved in that. So from the point of regeneration on throughout our life is this ongoing work of the Spirit. And it is what we call progressive sanctification. I'd share with you in 2 Thessalonians, and this is in chapter 2 and verse number 13. And here's what it says. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit. So the Bible acknowledges that the Spirit is involved in that. We find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 that it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. Through sanctification of the Spirit. And in John chapter 3 and verse number 6, Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And of course, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And so what happens is that he indwells the believer. Actually, we are called the dwelling place of the temple of the Holy Spirit is what the Bible says. Now, I'd like to share with you two or three passages of Scripture that puts this in context, that it talks about this sanctification be a part of our life and the way we live. First one is Romans in chapter number 6, and I'll read this one to you. In Romans, the 6th chapter, and in the 19th verse, here's what it says. Paul says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants of righteousness unto holiness or unto sanctification. Now, what I'm going to share with you is that this is the part of our sanctification that we are involved in, that we participate in. And so this is what he's talking about there. Another passage would be back in the 4th chapter of this book of 1 Thessalonians, and in verse 3 through verse 7. And here's what it says. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. That's a rough word, and I bet nobody here tonight has used that word this past week in conversation. And it means coveting and abnormal desires, or lust is the meaning of that word, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. And so everyone that comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if they read and study their Bible, they would learn that this is God's purpose and God's plan in our life from the point of regeneration until we depart this world, however we depart this world. And then there's another one, and I read this one a couple of weeks ago. It's in the book of 2 Timothy, and it's in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now remember, I'm reading these verses of Scripture because they put this sanctification in our lifetime and in our experience that we have. And what it says in verse 19 through verse 22, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now we would understand where that is in the context. It is in our life and in our experience once we come to know the Lord. He says, and he gives this illustration, "But in a great house there are many, not only many vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Then in verse 21, "If any man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." So we would know that the application of that is in my life once I come to know the Lord. That is in my life. So sanctification is placed there. And so the Bible tells us that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Saved people are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. I'll read this verse in your hearing. It's in John chapter 14 and verse 17. "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Now that's talking about the Holy Spirit and applied to every true believer. He shall be with you and shall be in you. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 it says, "And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." So saved person, that's what the Bible says about that. That the Holy Spirit takes up His abode in every true believer. Now, He leads us. The Bible says this in Romans 8 and verse 14, "And many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God." As many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So if you could say tonight that you're a son or a daughter of God, then you are one who is led by the Spirit. The Bible says that. And He changes us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Talks about beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image by the Spirit of the Lord. And so all of these verses of Scripture talk about the work of the Spirit in a believer. And He strengthens us. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Strengthened with might by the Spirit." Strengthened with might by the Spirit. Now, oftentimes I think maybe we don't think about that the work of the Spirit, we ought to focus on that. If we know the Lord, we ought to focus on that. We ought to understand what the Bible has to say, because this is a part of that subject, progressive sanctification. Ongoing work, a continuing work. He makes us fruitful. We're all familiar with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and verse 23. And as I read this morning in John 14 verse 26, He's our teacher. Isn't it awesome that the Bible would say He'll lead you into all truth? And certainly we desire to know that. We desire to know those wonderful truths that are shared with us by the Scriptures. We want to understand them. And if you tonight are one that I preached about loving the Word of God, great peace, it says, are those that love God's law, as we read in Psalms 119, verse 165. And so to love the Word of God, we cannot take credit for that. I know this because you might have had experience along these lines. There might have been a time in your life when you would maybe read or try to study the Bible and you'd find it so difficult that you just would give up or whatever, not learning much or whatever. But then there may have come a time in your life, and should have come a time, when you love the Word of God and you found the wonderful blessings that come from studying the Scriptures. So that's the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And it's a part of that subject of sanctification. Now, as I said a moment ago, that is a part of our sanctification that we experience. We experience that, and we actually participate in that. Now, all ways of determining the meaning of sanctification, which is positional or whatever, these are acts of God. And actually, we couldn't do that. That's only God could do that, positionally sanctify us or set us apart. And that's what the Bible teaches us that has happened. But this matter of progressive sanctification, we actually participate in that. As we learn the Scriptures and we learn what God's will is for our life, then we actually participate in that. And of course, we need to understand that one of these days, as God's children, we'll have to give an account for our stewardship of those blessings in our life. And we really will. We'll have to give an account for that. Now, this fact is expressed by a lot of Scripture passages that we are familiar with. And I want to just share with you two or three of those passages that we're familiar with. One, we ought to really be familiar with this one, because I remember that I preached a whole bunch of sermons from this passage of Scripture. And it's in Titus and chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. I'll start out by reading the 14th verse, because this is an awesome verse. It says, talking about Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now, I know that many of you will remember that series of messages that I brought, not only from that verse, but from that context that is found there. And the reason I bring it to your attention is because that passage begins in verse number 11, where it says this, and I remember when I was preaching from that, that the identification of this peculiar, and the word peculiar, remember, doesn't mean what way we use it often. It means special loved individuals is the meaning of that. And so it starts out in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, or all kinds of men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. Now this is part of that process. This is how this is working. It's how it's working in our lives if we know the Lord. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And so I would remind you tonight that a part of that progressive sanctification is where we're instructed about how to live our life in the Word of God. Then it goes on and talks about this in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a category of people in this world who look forward to that time. And I've used illustrations in preaching about people that I've known that talk about that, that actually delight in thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming back again. I don't know whether I mentioned it to you this morning. I might have. I don't remember what I've done 5 minutes ago. But anyway, Brother Jim was calling my attention to the fact that he'd heard this bluegrass song. And the song was that Gabriel is standing. Now, we don't know that. I mean, that song was written to bring this point to our minds that he's ready to blow the trumpet. Ready to blow the trumpet. And you know, most of us, I'm sure, think in terms of it may not be long. We may be right on the verge of the return of our Lord and Savior to this earth. And there's a trumpet going to be blown by Gabriel when that happens. And so there are those who think about that, dwell on that, and desire that to happen. I run across a text. Of course, I didn't run across this text. I was already well familiar with it. And I'll share this. And I thought that maybe sometime I'd like to preach a message on this, and I might just do it, might do it real soon. This is Paul talking in Philippians in chapter number 1. And Paul says this in the 21st verse, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, several times over the years, I've brought funeral messages with that passage of Scripture, that for someone to have that attitude, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But he says, "If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not or know not." He says, "For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." And you know, I thought about this the other day as I was thinking about this passage of Scripture. I don't think there's anybody that we know of who would know what that's going to be like more than the Apostle Paul. We know that the Bible teaches that he was permitted to be taken into the third heaven and see things that he could not reveal. Wouldn't you like to know what he experienced in that? Wouldn't you like to know? Well, I'll tell you one effect that it had on him. It had this effect that he would make this statement, that I desiring to depart and be with Christ. And he says, which is far better. Then in verse 24, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Now, the thought that came to my mind was this. To abide in the flesh is needful. Now, he was not going to go on because it was needful. It was the will of God to use him, and so leave him here is what he's talking about. You know, the thought that came to my mind was this. You know, God has a purpose in working in the life of every true believer to accomplish his will. And you know, it's not the same for everybody. You know, there are those who in their lifetime may do what we might consider great and awesome things, for God to use them. There are some that we might observe, we'd say, well, I don't know if, that I can recognize any great thing that God's doing in their life, but God is. He has a purpose and he has a plan, and we're all different, and his purpose and plan is different for everybody. But here's the thought that came to me. It came to me that as Paul said that, for is needful for him to stay. Christian, I want to tell you something. We're going to stay as long as that purpose has been worked out. And I would tell you it'd be a dangerous thing for any true believer to decide, I'm not going to do anything for the glory of God. I'm not going to seek to honor him and glorify him and serve him. You know, it could be checkout time. It may not be needful for you to stay any longer. So you might just go. Isn't that an awesome thought tonight? And something that we ought to dwell on and think on. So sharing with you that he's in the process of purifying unto himself. And I just think that's an awesome thought. You know, we think about the fact that, well, you know, I've been saved and this is all for me. But you know something? That's not what that verse says. That he's in the process of purifying unto himself a peculiar people. And they are identified by their zeal. I remember sharing with you this morning about some things that God puts in the heart of every true believer, and that zeal was one of those things. That's exactly what that verse is saying. If we have any zeal for his honor and his glory and his service, it's something that is brought about in our life and experience. So that's one passage of Scripture that would teach us that very thing. Another one, and I make reference to it really often, and I think it's just an awesome verse of Scripture. Paul said in Philippians in chapter number 1 and the 6th verse, I'll try to quote that. He said, being confident of this, I'll read it for you. Being confident of this very thing, listen to this, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Do you realize how powerful that is? He that started something is going to finish what he started. He that starts something in the experience or life of the individual, he's going to bring that about until that day. And so that's a powerful passage of Scripture. And what that's talking about is what we're talking about, progressive sanctification, the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, and we rejoice in that great text which says, "For we are saved by grace, that not of ourselves, is gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What does that say? Do we see ourselves that way? Do we see ourselves as a work of the Lord in our life? We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That tells us what God's will is for our lives, is to do good works. And then in the book of Philippians in chapter number 2, and here's what it says in verse 12 and verse 13. And this is talking about the same thing. In verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I remember on one occasion when I visited Brother Jimmy Fox, and we sitting on the front porch, and I remember this. He said, "Now, preacher, there's a verse of Scripture that has always bothered me. And I want to tell you what that verse of Scripture says, and I want you to share with me what you think that means." And it was this verse about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And he said, "That just sounds like we're saved by our works." And I said, "Brother Fox, it doesn't mean that. It means that we work out that which is already worked in." It's already worked in. And then in that next verse, here's what he says. For it is God which worketh in you. So it's God that worketh in you. And we would understand that as being the work of the Holy Spirit in the experience of the believer. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, this doesn't mean that God wills it or does it. This means he worketh in you and he worketh in me to will, and not only to will, but also to perform that which is his will, his perfect will. Now, some might think, well, you know, God doesn't violate our will. I've heard a lot of people say that. He doesn't violate it. I'll tell you what the Bible says. He makes us willing in the day of his power. You see, so if you're willing tonight, you've been made willing in the day of his power. And so he works in us that we might will, and gives us the ability to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. So you see, what that's talking about is that subject matter of progressive sanctification. And in Colossians, right quickly, and I know I've got quite a few of these, but I'll read this one. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 through 10, listen to what it's talking about. Paul says this, "But now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Now what that says is, that explains the process that happens in the life of a believer. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it talks about growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that these things are the will and purpose of God. So if God is going to work in me, if he's going to work in you, if the Holy Spirit is going to carry out his purpose in our lives, these are the things that are happening to us. And we need to be really, really careful, because we can resist him. We can sure You know, and one day, as I shared, we're going to be called into account. I know that one day I'll have to give an account for His blessings of grace in my life. I'll have to give an account for everything that He's taught me in His Word. And I want to finish with this thought tonight. It's called progressive sanctification. Progressive. And, of course, called a couple of other things. But I like the word progressive because it indicates progress that one makes in their walk with the Lord. It is like advancing. It's like moving forward. It's like onward. It's like, as the Bible says, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we need to be so careful that we don't forget that His is working in His will. It's a matter of seeking His will and striving for it. And I've always believed this, that the great motivator in our Christian walk is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't feel motivated, we need to try to figure out why, what's going on in our life. Because this is what the Bible teaches us. And I would want you to know in closing that He has a perfect will. It's not the same for everybody, but He has a perfect will for our life. And we have the Holy Spirit working in us to accomplish that. And that's what progressive sanctification is all about. Father, we thank You and praise You for this opportunity we've had to share these thoughts related to the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Help us, O God, not to ignore that, not to lay that aside, not to give any thought to it, because we need to understand that this is His purpose and His plan. And certainly, one day, all of Your children are going to stand before You and give an account for a stewardship of the grace and blessings that You've given in our life. We thank You for these thoughts related to sanctification. And we know, dear God, that there's still yet another form of sanctification. It's complete and total, that one day we'll stand in glory and we will be completely sanctified and freed from the very presence of sin. We thank You for that wonderful thought. So bless us tonight as we've looked at this subject, thought about these things. You, Father, that's you can speak to our hearts. Lead us to a closer walk with Thee. That is Your purpose and Your plan. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen.